Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 21st of July. Joining us this morning is Eureka, Superintendent of Schools, Eureka City Schools, Superintendent of Schools. Okay. Fred Van Fleck. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, no errant bullets struck the campus last night.
Well, that was quite a story, though, to hear that that
one
bullet
went through that. We were at the dinner table, saw vroom. It came up, and then cut down Booner down to Harrison.
Did you see the story of where the bullet went through the wall and hit the woman? So it, am I allowed to say where the story came from?
I'm sure it was the
redheaded black belt.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a story on there I read this morning where a bullet actually went through the wall, went through a piece of art, and the mother was on the floor with their child singing to them.
Just playing, yeah.
And it hit her in the arm. All the force was gone, didn't hurt her.
Oh, so it just kind of...
Yep, off her arm. She said she thought a bug, according to the article, thought a bug landed on her or something, and she looked down, and there was a bullet on her floor, and they showed a picture of the bullet and everything. You talk about scary. Holy smokes.
They turned on to O, and I mean, you could tell it was fast. You know, we got enough clowns going by going 40 that we recognize more than normal. And then here come the sirens. 7 or 8. It's like that's not normal. And then a pause, another 3 or 4.
But I want to say, just for the record, you said more than the normal clowns, and so those are continuing to happen right now, correct? You get people flying.
Oh, yeah, they'll go 40, 45.
Yeah, okay. Just want to let you know, Eureka High School's out for the summer.
Yes.
I let you down that one. I just want to make sure there's no complaints about
administration is still present.
Well, I was in a hurry at home.
Yeah.
And I guess technically Eureka High School is not out. Summer school is in. So there you
go. But not at 7:30 or 7:20.
No. Yeah. Absolutely not. So, yeah, it's. But I'll tell you what. When that starts hitting close to home, it's scary, and you start thinking about things like that, and imagine what's going through that mother's mind. And holy smokes!
Oh, I would just the neighbors' minds, because he did go past Chief Jarvis's house, going 65 or 70 on a street designed to go 30.
Right.
Not that we can speculate accurately. But do you think drugs were involved anywhere in this?
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, gee. I guess reality coming to town. Let's do our question, and then we'll ask about campus security.
Oh, I thought I could stall long enough. I might get away without one.
not through 3 breaks, man. All right. Why do we say sponge? And this is in the category called This Makes Sense.
I would, a sponge is something that is an actual native thing. So we used to use a sponge out of the sea as a sponge. Obviously, it sucks things up. And I want to say it has something to do with the tides going in and out and the sponge sucking up the water. It's the best I got.
Nothing to do with budgets, huh?
No, that sucks.
Oh. Yeah, it's just a tide going one direction. Yeah, out. Traders began bringing a few sponges to Britain before the beginning of written history. Yet for many centuries, the strange plant from the sea remained scarce, except in warm coastal regions. Exotic though it was, the sponge was customarily put to only one general use. It was ideal for wiping slates used by scholars in village schools. So it signified a significant upward step when a schoolmaster threw out his supply of old rags and began using sponges. A person seeing one of these for the first time usually marveled at its capacity to soak up water. As a result, the name of the schoolroom tool was applied to persons who excelled in soaking up the tavern keeper's liquids. I wonder why you didn't get that part. Such a two-legged sponge.
Because remember, I suck.
Yeah. Oh, man, there's just such a natural response, and I just can't. I won't do it to you. Such a two-legged sponge was usually down on his luck and addicted to wielding gifts and loans. As a result, anyone who habitually avoids paying his own wage, or his own way, rather, is said to sponge off relatives and friends. It was even sponge-related, and I still didn't feel comfortable saying it.
I'll take the 50% of the origin of the sponge. I'll take that half.
That would be under the sea. Or yeah. The sea? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. So when you heard...
So that 50%, I'll take a C grade. How about that?
That's about it. It starts with an S. And many of us didn't know that the grading curve went down that low, but that's all right. We'll give you that S for sponge. With the last couple of days, there have been a couple of goofy things. The one in Henderson Center, as well as last night's event. Most all of your campuses are securable. Eureka High is not.
Mm, that is accurate.
Thank you.
And candidly, Zane.
Well, Zane, yeah, because you got the backside through the woods,
right.
if somebody wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Are those concerning? Are those areas that are going to be addressed? Or are you more concerned about the little guys and kind of the grab and go from those that don't win in family court, that type of scenario?
Well, we're always concerned about the what-ifs, and the what-ifs will always be out there, and it's scary to even think about that. And some of the measures that we've done to think about the what-ifs at Eureka High School, if you think about the ag department used to be at the bottom of the hill. We brought it to the top of the hill for this very reason. Now, we have some other constraints that are difficult to work through, and for instance, is a wood shop that's down there. The wood shop was modernized back in the early 2000s. And it's at the bottom of the hill, and, you know, there's no way to really justify bringing that to the top of the hill for the sheer cost purpose. But as we go through some of these projects and modernizations, we will be consolidating the campuses more towards the top of the school because you think of the ag classes, we have about 350 students enrolled in ag classes, and those kids are going down to the bottom of the hill every day. So now they're not doing that any longer, and so that affords us the opportunity to do some work. Also, the new gym puts that right there on J Street and allows us the opportunity to start thinking about fencing in the front of the school if we so choose and have a controlled entrance up there at the front of the school. But we still have that difficulty, and the primary one is the wood shop down below. And then going across the street, J Street there, to the Marshall campus where the pottery and jewelry art classes are. And so those are challenging as well.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jimbo Hannett Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jimbo Hannett Show. I'm Jimbo Hannett. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:24. Back talking shop with Head Herder for Eureka City Schools. Yeah, I brought the ag thing in there for you.
Yes.
You ought to feel comfortable with that.
I know. I heard that, yes.
But you did. If I did any kind of a good sheep impression, you would have just had that.
Yeah. All your sheep impressions are bad.
Yeah, yeah. You know what?
I can do this all day long.
Oh. So as you contemplate things, I know that, well, when I was going through, the wood shop was in the industrial arts building.
Right.
Now, that kind of got monkeyed around with a little bit, with a former tenant that's no longer there.
Correct.
Congratulations, by the way. Why not move it back?
Well, it's sheer cost. So just to put it in perspective, the ag shop we just built with the classrooms there was about $7 million, and that was about 2 years ago. So the cost of that building right now, just given what we've been looking at paying for construction, I would venture to say is $10 to $11 million.
Oh, so you just couldn't put it back, not get rid of all the associated riffraff and stuff with what the electronics were, and just move the gear back in there? And
That's correct.
Have the kids stay on campus, up on the hill.
Yeah, that's correct, because when it went through that modernization, when they built the new wood shop in the early 2000s and they modernized the IT building into what it is now, the business building, and at the time the technology and different things of that sort, it just changed the building. So it's no longer a functional wood shop type building. You can't just move the equipment back in. The electricity has changed around, the main panels, the space has changed around because walls have been put in there. And so it could happen, but again, just the dollar figures is what would be there. And I'll be candid, the wood shop down below is a phenomenal wood shop. It's built well, it's functional.
Just looks like crap from the outside?
No, that's the welding shop that looks like crap from the outside. That's the one that's getting demolished. We've stopped maintaining it. It's on the slate to be demolished.
Now, that's not a shocker.
because we're going to demolish it. And it should be, the demolition should be happening late this fall. So it will
Why
be
not
away
like next
soon.
Week?
Because we have
call
to
call our favorite guy and come in and, you know, it's gone in a day and a half.
We have to complete the CEQA process, which is pretty much done right
to
now.
To eliminate the building?
Yep, because that's considered a historical building. And so we
By who?
The Heritage Society. And
I guess historical doesn't mean quality.
No, not at all.
And looking at it, it, there's nothing there to preserve.
Right. And the building's failed. The floor, the foundation has failed. There's, you know,
some things
anywhere
don't.
From 6 to 12 inches of air underneath the concrete. In certain spots, it's caved in. That's why we went away from that building. It's not sound any longer.
But you still have to go through that process, even though it's not safe, not desired, and not historically significant?
That is accurate. But the Heritage Society would argue that it is historically significant. And we worked with them, and I don't want this isn't a bash on the Heritage Society at all.
No, it's not about the school specific. I'm just thinking there are certain buildings that are decrepit enough that it's not worth saving. I mean, it still could have some historical significance, but not in the state that it is. And if nobody is willing to pay for the upkeep, you just kind of keep having the blight continue and continue and continue until there's nothing there.
Right. Jacobs. I mean, that's...
That wasn't historically significant, was it?
No. Well, in my opinion, no. I don't know if other people would say that. But here we worked with the Heritage Society. If you go back to the early 2000s...
Yeah,
when
you went round and round with the gym.
Right.
Jay Willard.
Yes. So there was actually a fight between... a legal fight between the Heritage Society and the school district much before I came here. And this time we approached it differently, and I'm appreciative of the Heritage Society and them working with us on this. And we sat down and talked to them about how we could navigate our way through this. And we came to an agreement of doing the full-blown CEQA process on the existing gym. And then we came to anytime you do a CEQA process, one of the components of that is exploring the historical significance of what you're altering. And so we had to do the same process.
So what is that standard? When you say historically significant, okay. What? It's kind of like, for some of us, high tide. Okay, 6 feet. Great, 6 feet from where? Where's that reference point? Same thing, I would suspect, for historical. Where is that reference point? What? When does it start? When does it stop? How is that defined?
I'm the wrong person to ask about that because I don't.
No, but you sign off on the document, so I would like to think you knew what you're signing off on.
Well, we have architects to help us with that and CEQA experts to help us with that as well. And so I defer to their expertise on that. But like, for instance, the gym building, it was a certain architecture that was dominant of the time. And one of the things that we worked with the Heritage Society on the football field was the team room has that same style of architecture. And they said,
sure,
okay.
Period pieces.
Right. And so their point was, we lost the gym. Can we preserve the team room down here? We understand that the old welding building, ag building, has failed and that it's not feasible to preserve that. We're asking that you historically document it with pictures and create a file with the pictures of that building, and then on the team room that you preserve the facade of it to its original look, and we'll be happy.
And that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And so we said, yeah, sure.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools. So, Fred, with the fact that the Eureka High campus is an open campus and it's an unsecured campus, is that going to be the next area that gets your attention?
Well, it's an area that has our attention already, and we're consistently talking
about
it.
Physical changes and things going.
See, there's the balance of trying to figure out where do you stop the fences? Because we could fence a place in and make it look like a prison, and then we get...
Your elementary schools don't look like a prison.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you look over here at Lafayette Elementary, which is right across the way,
the fence that
goes... Yeah, but the fence that goes down Park Street's, what, 4 feet tall? With...
You could put a 25-foot wall up, and if somebody has enough desire, they're going to bring a helicopter in and get...
Right.
Parachute down.
Right. Well, I mean, look at Uvalde.
It's deterrent rather than 100%.
Uvalde down in Texas.
Yeah.
Completely secured campus, and the shooter went in, and it just makes me sick to my stomach to even think about this and think about the video that was there. But anyways, went in through a locked door, and the door
wasn't locked,
was propped open. And so there is no, it doesn't matter how locked down your campus is. If somebody wants to get in, they're going to get in. But.
And there's the human factor.
Yes. But yeah. We have to take the appropriate amount of safety measures. And so here's the thing
now,
that's
imagine
really difficult.
If there was no fencing around there and this guy didn't have to go through an unlocked door or a jarred door, he just kind of walked on campus.
No,
there'd be all kinds of.
Maybe I don't know, and so the thing that, how do you find the sweet spot of that? And there's the $1 million question: is how much is too much, and you're really, if you will, imprisoning children on a campus.
Yeah, you don't want razor
wire. Right. Versus how much is not enough, and it's finding that sweet spot. Our elementary schools all have, and this has happened within the last 10 years because they didn't have controlled entrances. All have controlled entrances. During the school day, the gates are locked. You can't walk onto the campus without the controlled entrance. The Winship campus, we just about have fence around the backside going into
the
McKay.
Field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it goes all the way back down to the old L, we call it the LP gate. The old LP gate back there, it's fenced down that way, and we will, in our long-term plans, continue the fencing all the way around the school there to try to keep off the forest area. The Zane campus, same type of thing is where we're going. I mean, we are working in that direction, but also we have to have some common sense as we go down that direction as well.
I would suspect, you harden the target. Yeah, who was LP?
Louisiana Pacific.
A lot of folks, LP doesn't register.
Yeah, that's true.
Unfortunately.
That's true. Or Simpson, which is Green Diamond.
Right.
Or, you think about these, or Georgia Pacific, who was up here.
Redwood.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a bunch of those that make us historically significant.
When I first heard the Brainerd property, I thought, what's the Brainerd property? I've never heard of that. And, old reman mill for Arcata Redwood where they did all the planing and finish work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know where that's at.
Arcata Redwood. Yeah.
Right.
For a lot of us,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Still don't know why there are eucalyptus trees there, but anyway. So as you look at that. Obviously, you're going to spend the money to the areas that you hit. You see the highest degree of risk or potential. How do you make that call? Or how does the board make that call?
It's in there, and I appreciate that you made that distinction. How does the board make that call? Because ultimately, that's who creates the priorities for the district. And it's trying to exercise some common sense of doing the best job we can, because it's essential that we keep our children safe, and also being reasonable and not creating a prison on our schools. And it's trying to find that line in there that is reasonable. Eureka High School is a great example. If we really wanted to go to the nth degree as far as safety, the campus needs to be closed down. Students shouldn't be allowed to leave for lunch. That's a big, safe issue that's there. But you start talking about closing down the campus for lunch, and there's tremendous pushback from the students, from the families, because they appreciate the ability of some of the freedom. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This isn't the way it was when I was in school. We get that a lot. Because
they must have graduated after 77, because that's when it opened.
I would imagine most of our parents graduated well after 77. Maybe some of our grandparents.
But then it was open.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, Delaney's? Is that the name of the old?
The old one, yeah. I believe so, yeah.
And Canham's at the other end. Yeah, because that was the limit. Mm-hmm. So you go two doors down J and across the street from the elementary school parking lot. Mm-hmm. And that was it, and that was it, and that was the rules. And then when things opened, all of a sudden, showing up late after lunch was pretty routine for many of us.
Now, you go down to the Central Valley, where I did my little hiatus out of the county there for a while. There's not an open school, high school, anywhere down there.
Yeah, well, and I still don't know why it was initially thought to be a good idea. Well, other than maybe the food services on campus couldn't handle
That's where I'd venture to say was that the numbers were so big at that time. Because remember, 70s, 80s, 90s were the hopping. It was on the downturn, but it was still hopping timber industry. And we had a lot of students on the campuses. Eureka City Schools were their biggest at that point. We're less than half the size we were at that point. From a pure safety perspective, we should close the campus. But from a humanistic perspective, why? And so we have to find that balance.
Yeah, I bet if you brought food trucks on campus or at the Marshall parking lot, that there would be so much less resistance.
Illegal. Can't do it.
You can't contract out with private?
Nope. You can. Well, yes, you could to a certain extent, but they would have to meet the federal regulations for fats, proteins, calories,
the
salts.
Nutritional standards.
Exactly. And we've actually talked about buying our own food trucks and have our own food services run some food trucks because they're so popular and people like them so much. We've had conversations about doing that. But we are set up to a point now where we could choose to close a campus and be fine and operate it that way. And this will probably...
As long as it wasn't turkey gravy and mashed potatoes every Thursday.
Right. Well, actually, believe it or not, turkey gravy is one of the popular dishes. Folks love the turkey gravy. It's a good one.
Oh, that's frightening if that's the most popular one. K-I-N-S.
No, I said one of the popular ones.
It's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're at Talking Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Summertime's normally construction season.
Construction, maintenance.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Summer school.
See a little bit of lawn mowing going down. Not a lot of lawn watering going down, so that's probably, you know, makes everything go round and round. Mm-hmm.
And other than, you know, things that we're concerned about, safety for students.
Right, so you got the gym, obviously, is the focal point for a lot of folks, but are there other smaller level projects that are going on this summer that are going to be recognizable by either students or by parents or the community?
Well, I'll tell you one that's a big going to be recognizable project is we are furniture, all new furniture in all new elementary schools. So
all new elementary schools?
I did not say that accurately, did I? All new furniture in all of our elementary schools. How about that? They're not new elementary schools. So we have a standard classroom that's divided up by grade levels, and so we've purchased all new furniture. So when you walk into a first grade classroom at Lafayette versus Alice Birney versus Washington, Grant, et cetera, it'll look the same.
All new desks?
All new desks, all new tables, teacher desks, filing cabinets, bookshelves, everything. It'll all be replaced over the summer.
What do you do with the old stuff?
Anybody want some classroom furniture?
Okay,
let us know.
You're not going to say free on the sidewalk, are you?
No, we pretty close to did that. So we sent it out to our parents to say anybody who wants any classroom furniture at home, come see us. And we had some takers, not a lot. That was at the end of the school year last year. Then we opened it up to people that want furniture. So if anybody out there is looking for some classroom desks or anything like that, let us know. We can help you out.
Do you still have those half rounds with the holes underneath at, you know, elementary school?
Yeah, so with the holes. Oh, yeah. I don't know if they're half round, but the little slot down there to put your books in or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Those are there.
Those are kind of cool.
Would you like me to bring you one? I'll
drop
off.
I'm not sure I'd fit anymore.
I'm thinking. I know where you live. I'll drop off. Yeah. I'll do one or 100 driveway next week.
Yeah, it's 70 miles an hour. Thanks.
and if you think it was me, it wasn't me.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Don't do the fingerprint thing.
I think I might. Can I write on the desk, Fred was here?
Yeah. Yeah. only if you use a knife. So as you look at that stuff, so it was it an opportunity, or was a lot of this stuff old or just not? I mean, it seems like it would be a huge expense if it wasn't necessary.
Oh, it was necessary. Some of our desks date back to 60s? Long time ago. I bet you we have some desks at Eureka High School, especially some of those that date back that far. We have some old desks, and you know, the irony about that is some of those old desks are the best-built desks that are out there. You think, like in my office right now, we have some of the old chairs and old benches. It's an old oak bench and an old oak chair that used to be in schools. And I mean,
no wheels.
Yeah, nope. And they're nice, solid pieces of furniture, well constructed compared to what you buy now, chrome plated, welded with a plastic seat on them. And the longevity of those aren't as long as some of the old stuff.
Three or four years.
But, well, it better be more than 3 or 4 years. But, because, you know, we can't afford.
Oh, you're getting the fancy chairs.
Yeah, we can't afford to buy cheap. And you know, that's a statement we often use in business. We buy quality so it'll last longer. But the quality is not like the good old quality that it once was.
Well, it's like buying a sofa today versus an antique sofa.
Right, right.
That you can't pick up.
But I'll tell you, one of our biggest enemies on this stuff is the sharp objects carving. And it doesn't matter how old it is or how new it is. And I'll give you a for instance. We had some brand new furniture in our middle schools, and our students figured out with face masks, you could take the little string and that goes around your ear, behind your head, and you could use it back and forth like a friction saw, kind of like cutting through PVC pipe, and you could cut pieces of the chair off.
Like a jail bar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
I understand.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. That's an ever present challenge is just the, for whatever reason, destruction of furniture. And that dates back forever. That's nothing new.
I guess I was sheltered when I was sheltered. Or maybe I was put in a shelter. I don't know. Interesting times. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.